votes to get his nominee through, with Democrat Joe Manchin undecided and Democrat Mark Kelly still evaluating her nomination. Sohn authored the net neutrality legislation and is considered a progressive Democrat. By comparison, former President Donald Trump promoted former FCC Commissioner Ajit Pai to chair less than a week after taking office and got Brendan Carr confirmed for the Republican majority seat by August in his first year. Mike Masnick at TechDirt reports about the likely unconstitutional law that New York passed in the wake of the Buffalo mass shooting. The law requires websites to have a, quote, hateful conduct policy, unquote. Of course, websites do not really have any conduct, but they contain speech. And the government is not allowed to regulate speech outside yelling fire in a crowded theater. The law defines hateful conduct as, quote, the use of a social media network to vilify, humiliate, or incite violence against a group or a class of persons on the basis of race, color, religion, ethnicity, national origin, disability, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression, unquote. That describes speech, not conduct. And speech is protected under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The law claims that it has nothing to do with free speech. Quote, nothing in this section shall be construed as an obligation imposed on a social media network that adversely affects the rights or freedoms of any persons, such as exercising the right of free speech pursuant to the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, unquote, the law says. If it does not regulate speech, what exactly is the conduct of websites that it seeks to alter? Paul McLean reports for Radio World that climate change is now affecting radio policy. Federal Communications Commission Chair Jessica Rosenworkel released a statement June 16th saying that the Bureau will work to improve cell phone reception during hurricanes and wildfires and other disasters. Quote, while wireless providers have worked hard to prevent outages and restore service during recent disasters, there were times when communications fell short and recovery took too long, which put lives at risk, unquote, her statement read in part. The western United States has seen more forest fires recently, and several large hurricanes have impacted the southern states, too. Locally, ice storms, high winds, and flooding have knocked out communications in recent years. Rosenworkel, the Democratic-appointed chair, and Republican-appointed Commissioner Brendan Carr visited in Louisiana after Hurricane Ida, and they, quote, heard firsthand where communications resiliency needs improvement, unquote, and, quote, now it's time to act on what we've learned, unquote, Rosenworkel said. Proposals for improving disaster communications include mutual aid arrangements that enable service providers to request or receive a request for assistance during emergencies. Companies would also draft more complete disaster plans under the proposal. Public safety and first responder groups, including the National Sheriff's Association and the International Association of Fire Chiefs, approved the proposals, Carr said. The mutual aid agreement may have emerged after some carriers had signals after Hurricane Ida hit the New Orleans area in 2021, but others did not. WWL asked readers, quote, why were Verizon subscribers still able to make calls while T-Mobile, Sprint, and AT&T customers couldn't, unquote. Nearby LaForche Parish did not have any cell service for a week after the storm hit. Anthony Norden, a construction manager with a cell company, said service providers can add backup generators and fuel supplies and otherwise hardened transmitter sites to stay on the airwaves. Go to waveform.org for more radio news.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Monday, June 20th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM. At 10 a.m., hop on the Afrosonic Taxi, this week with tracks from Imaran, Haruna Samaki, and Itran De Lear. At 11 a.m., Brendan Donegan is playing favorites with the Staple Singers live from the WGXC Hudson Studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. Then at noon, after the local news, it's time for the Deep Three Show with songs this week from David S. Ware, Yalin Chen, Kirsten Johnson, and others. There's brand new music from David Grubbs, Joyful Talk, Clara Engel, and others on the Vital Weekly Show at 2 p.m. At 8 p.m., we are live from Acre with J.D. Eisman and The Spell, playing all sorts of futuristic soul and lost rock and roll. And The Mosquito is on live from Catskill at 10 p.m. with Nancy Giles and Carmen Borgia, with a variety show with stand-up comedy, music, discussion, and more on the air at 90.7 FM WGXC.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Oh, Helios. Oh, yellow star. Oh, glowing sphere, gleaming beacon, brilliant flaming orb, giver of light, warmth, and radio. Yes, it's true. WGXC's brand new solar panels are installed and ready for deployment, where they'll be calling on the free and plentiful rays of the sun to bring our station close to full sustainability.
To make WGXC a solar-powered radio station.
We are going solar. WGXC will be a solar-powered community radio station, getting our power from the sun rather than foreign despots.
WGXC loves the sun, and we're going to love it even more now that WGXC is going solar.
Thank you. Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson. And on Bound by Books, I'm generally joined by some young friends, but nobody was available this week, so it's just me. But I am going to share some books that are coming up that I think will be of interest to a lot of young readers, and I'm going to even share one for adult readers. So working our way up the age groups, let's start with a graphic novel for kids. It is volume 2 of the Sir Ladybug series by Corey R. Tabor. I loved book 1 in this series, and I've loved other books by this author as well, and I'm really excited to see what happens next to our insect friends. So here is the description. Sir Ladybug, the Duke of the Dandelion Patch, champion of truth and justice, is on a new quest. He and his herald, Pell, and his trusty squire, Sterling, will have to be extra clever to outwit the mean Queen Bee. Woven seamlessly into this funny and surprising story are the themes of friendship, bravery, teamwork, creative thinking, and helping others. With warmth and heart, surprising and delightful asides, and a memorable cast of characters, this series will appeal to avid and reluctant readers alike. And so, as you may have guessed by the title and some of the descriptions, this is set in a garden world. The main character is a ladybug, and your friends are a pill bug, and a snail, and the queen bee, I guess, is a central character in this book. So look forward to checking that out when it comes out on June 28th, a little bit later this month. So that's Sir Ladybug and the Queen Bee by Corey R. Tabor. And the first book, Sir Ladybug, is already out, and you can borrow it from your library or find it at your favorite independent bookstore. Next up, I have a middle grade chapter book, which we've talked about on the show a little bit before. So that is The Kaya Girl by Mamle Wolo. We had the author visit a couple months back at the library for an author talk, and I know my co-host Jada read the book in preparation for that author talk and loved it, so I'm looking forward to reading this as well. Here's the description. This rags-to-riches story by an award-winning Ghanaian author has page-turning appeal with luminous literary resonance. Writing with effortlessly engaging prose, Wolo showcases the interweaving layers of Ghanaian culture to create a prismatic, multifaceted world in which two young girls, against all odds, are able to find each other. When Faiza, a Muslim migrant girl from northern Ghana, and Abina, a wealthy doctor's daughter from the south, meet by chance in Accra's largest market, where Faiza works as a porter, or Kaya girl, they strike up an unlikely and powerful friendship that transcends their social inequities and opens up new worlds to them both. Set against a backdrop of class disparity in Ghana, the Kaya girl has shades of the kite runner in its unlikely friendship and of slumdog millionaire as Faiza's life takes unlikely turns that propel her thrillingly forward. As, over the course of the novel, Abina awakens to the world outside her sheltered, privileged life, the novel explores a multitude of awakenings and the opportunities that lie beyond the breaking down of barriers. This is a gorgeously transporting work, offering vivid insight into two strikingly diverse young lives in Ghana. So that's The Kaya Girl by Mamle Wolo. It also comes out June 28th, and I am looking forward to checking that out. I don't think I've read many books for kids set in Africa that are also written by authors from the country in which they're set. So I'm excited to check this out and see if it lives up to the rave review that Jada gave this book. Moving on to teen fiction, there's a new book that just came out this week by Joanna Ho, called The Silence That Binds Us. And I'm pretty sure this is her first young adult novel. I've read some picture books by her and some children's nonfiction, but I think this is her first novel. I'm pretty confident it's her first novel for teens. But it is called The Silence That Binds Us, and here's the description. Maybelline Chen isn't the Chinese Taiwanese American daughter her mother expects her to be. May prefers hoodies over dresses and wants to become a writer. When asked, her mom can't come up with one specific reason for why she's proud of her only daughter. May's beloved brother, Danny, on the other hand, has just been admitted to Princeton. But Danny secretly struggles with depression, and when he dies by suicide, May's world is shattered. In the aftermath, racist accusations are hurled against May's parents for putting too much pressure on him. May's father tells her to keep her head down. Instead, May challenges these ugly stereotypes through her writing. Yet the consequences of speaking out run much deeper than anyone could foresee. Who gets to tell our stories and who gets silenced? It's up to May to take back the narrative. So that book sounds like a tough read, but also an interesting read and empowering read. And I'm excited to check it out because I have read her picture books. She has Eyes That Kiss in the Corners and Eyes That Speak to the Stars. And then she did a book called Playing at the Border, A Story of Yo-Yo Ma, which I also enjoyed. So I look forward to checking this out. I like when authors change age groups that they're writing for, formats of storytelling. And I have one other teen book to share. It's a graphic novel, and it is by Tilly Walden, who is one of my favorite graphic novel artists and authors. I love her works. They're very interesting and different. And I'll read basically anything she puts out. So this is no exception. And this is called Clementine. It's book one of a trilogy. And it comes out June 28th. And it's set in the world of The Walking Dead, which is Robert Kirkman's series, which I really liked the graphic novels at the beginning and the show at the beginning. And my interest in them sort of faded over time, although I've kept watching and reading them. I finished the graphic novel series this past year, I think, and the show is still ongoing. So yeah, I'm curious to see how Tilly Walden fits into this world. So here is the description for that one. Acclaimed author Tilly Walden enters the world of Robert Kirkman's The Walking Dead as 17-year-old Clementine must learn the difference between living and surviving in this intimate coming-of-age YA graphic novel trilogy. From the world of Robert Kirkman's The Walking Dead, Clementine lives. Clementine is back on the road, looking to put her traumatic past behind her and forge new path all her own. But when she comes across an Amish teenager named Amos with his head in the clouds, the unlikely pair journeys north to an abandoned ski resort in Vermont, where they meet up with a small group of teenagers attempting to build a new walker-free settlement. As friendship, rivalry, and romance begin to blossom amongst the group, the harsh winter soon reveals that the biggest threat to their survival might be each other. And so yeah, I'm curious about this book. I looked up the character online because I did not recall a character named Clementine from the Walking Dead universe, and the description made it sound like it was a character that I should maybe know. And it turns out Clementine is a character in a video game, and there's some people that have reviewed this book online that really don't like it because of how it changed things from the video game, or they think it's weird that it's based on a video game character. But I have faith in Tilly Walden, so I will try it out and I'll report back. But I can't compare it to the video game because I've never played it, so maybe I'm in luck there. But yeah, so that's Clementine, book one by Tilly Walden. And for an adult book that just came out this week that I am excited to read, I wanted to highlight Boys, Beasts, and Men by Sam J. Miller, who is a local author. He grew up here in Hudson and has come to do book talks in the area several times, both at the library, TSL, Spotty Dog, definitely a friend of Hudson. And we hope that we're a friend of his too. We've had Sam on the radio show as well on Bound by Books a couple times when he's come for the Hudson Children's Book Festival and when he first released a young adult novel, his first novel. And so this book is a short fiction collection, and I am very excited to check it out. And this one is not geared for young adults like some of his other ones were, but there might be some crossover potential. But yeah, here is the description. In Nebula Award-winning author Sam J. Miller's devastating debut short fiction collection, featuring an introduction by Amal El-Mokhtar, queer infatuation, inevitable heartbreak, and brutal revenge seamlessly intertwine. Whether innocent, guilty, or not, even human, the boys, the beasts, and men, roaming through Miller's gorgeously crafted worlds can destroy readers, yet leave them wanting more. Despite his ability to control the ambient digital cloud, a foster teen falls for a clever con man. Luring bullies to a quarry, a boy takes clearly enumerated revenge through unnatural powers of suggestion. In the aftermath of a shape-shifting alien invasion, a survivor fears that he brought something out of the Arctic to infect the rest of the world. A rebellious group of queer artists create a new identity that transcends even the anonymity of death. Sam J. Miller shows his savage wit, unrelenting candor, and lush imagery in this essential career retrospective collection, taking his place alongside legends of the short fiction form such as Carmen Maria Machado, Carson McCullers, and Jeff Vandermeer. And that just came out this week. We did not get our copy yet at the library. I keep waiting for it to come. I really am excited to read this. I've been waiting a while. Please come, books. Maybe it'll come by the time this airs on the radio. Maybe by the time you're listening, we will have that book. But very excited for it. I've read Sam's other releases and really enjoyed them. I think he has an interesting voice, and I love his storytelling and his writing. And he's just a really nice guy, so that helps. So that's Boys, Beasts, and Men by Sam J. Miller. And again, that's a book for adult readers or geared towards adult readers. And so those are my book highlights for the week. I hope you'll check some of those out or find some other great reads to enjoy these coming weeks. Before we sign off for the day, I wanted to highlight some special events this weekend around Juneteenth. So first off, there is the third annual Juneteenth celebration at the Hudson Waterfront Park, and they're going to have 3 days or nights of activity. So starting off Friday night, June 17th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Waterfront Park, there's going to be an outdoor film screening of the movie Miss Juneteenth. And then the following night, Saturday, same time, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., there'll be the Revival of the Fittest lip sync show, which is always fun. And on Sunday is the day-long celebration with music, vendors, local artist showcase, youth talent show, games and prizes, wellness check-ins, community conversations, and more. So that is Sunday, June 19th from 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. We're grateful for the organizers for putting this together. We'll be down at the waterfront on Sunday with our friends, the Little Free Libraries. We're doing some book giveaways for kids and teens. So stop on by if you'd like to pick up a free book, and hope to see you there. It's a fun event every year that we look forward to. Also this month, in through June 30th, at Lightforms Art Center, there is a really wonderful exhibit called Who We Be, an exhibition and celebration of Black life in Columbia County. So it's curated by Tanya Jackson. It is just a really special exhibit highlighting really amazing people, past and present, who have had an impact on Columbia County Black life. And we have some materials from the library's history room that are included in the exhibit. And then there are so many different community members who have contributed to this exhibit with ephemera, pictures. There's beautiful portraits of various people from the community with quotes. It's just a very special exhibit, artwork from different age groups. You really just have to check it out. So I hope you'll go see that sometime through June 30th. Gallery hours are Friday afternoons, 3 to 7, and then Saturdays and Sundays from 11:30 to 5, or by appointment calling Lightforms Arts Center at 917-330-6262. There's also the Hudson's Catskill Housing Coalition is hosting a books and barbecue program on Saturday, June 18th from 12 to 2 p.m. at their new location, 47 North 5th Street, just next door to the library, right across State Street from the library. And they're going to have readings from Pamela Badilla, and presumably they're going to have barbecue because it's called Books and Barbecue. I'm not sure who's doing the barbecue, but I'm sure it'll be tasty. And we're going to have some book giveaways there as well from us and the Little Free Libraries. So again, so many opportunities to get books this weekend. You should probably check out some of these events. You can see Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition's new space. You can come down to the beautiful waterfront and get some books while you're at it. And celebrate Juneteenth. So we hope to see you sometime this weekend. And I'm hoping that next week I will not be on the radio by myself. I'll have my tween and teen co-hosts back with me. But I hope you out there listening, and my tween and teen co-host who couldn't join me today out there listening, have a great week filled with lots of quality reading time, and we'll be back next week to talk about some more books, because that's what we do on Bound by Books. Until then, happy reading.